Welcome to episode 238 of After the Credits, your littlest hobo media spew for June. I am your co-host, Marina Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, that's it. I have nothing else. There's no descriptive. Get over yourselves. Next.
Dale from Co-op Radio.
Hooray.
We'll go with that one this time.
Ooh, nice.
I actually hosted a show last month.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
I don't know how I feel about that. I'm getting more comfortable behind the scenes.
You know? Oh.
Interviewing live is always...
Oh, that's hard.
Pre-taped is... Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. So, stuff we've been up to, watching. I see Dale's list is very long. My list is very long.
I made notes so that I wasn't like... And I watched this movie and derp, 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 derp. So
sound effects.
Yeah,
I know, great. I like
hopefully
it.
Less derp, more
derp, 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 derp. I'm gonna have to
more words.
That.
Yeah.
So do you want to start since you have a bit of a list?
Oh, I don't know. Where are we starting with?
What's at top of your list?
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with movies. We'll go with movies. Finally watch Tomb Raider.
Oh yeah,
which is the reboot of the movie series. All the actors were great, but it was really forgettable. Like the story. Have you guys seen it?
No, but I really like Alicia Vikander.
I know. Like the whole cast was really like top notch, but I found this, I wasn't sure if it was the script or the directing or maybe both, but it just didn't feel compelling.
So probably not a sequel. We're probably not going to get another sequel.
I think I looked at that. I did really well internationally. I don't think it did really as good as they hoped locally, but I could be talking out my butt on that. So maybe I was really sad. Like they had all the ingredients to do something really good.
It just didn't really pop.
But the director whose name I won't even try to pronounce, maybe had a bit of different sensibility about pacing. But anyway, for me... Excuse me. I was happy that I'd seen it, but I didn't find it like awesome.
Okay.
And a friend of mine has a box set of Marilyn Monroe movies.
Nice.
So we watched a couple. We watched The 7-Year Itch, mm-hmm. and we watched River of No Return, which I'd never heard of.
No, never seen it.
The biggest draw for River of No Return, or I should say. Point is the fact it was filmed in Alberta. Like the scenery is great, but
Marilyn was in Canada.
She was.
Yeah. Wow.
She was with Robert Mitchum. But so the 7-Year Itch has that famous scene with her skirt blowing up, which is probably the only thing that's kind of noteworthy about it. It was based on a Broadway play that was rewritten. For the movie by the actual guy that did the play.
Oh, okay.
But the censors really were on their butt. So they stripped out a bunch of stuff. The Billy Wilder, who it tends to be like a director I really like, he was frustrated as hell. He did not like what the output was because he was so constrained. And I don't know, the guy playing the lead, he was the guy that played the lead on Broadway, but I don't know that he really knew how to do it on film. So it was an interesting watch, but it was not, and there was definitely some fun moments, but overall, I'm still kind of wondering what the big deal is about Marilyn Monroe. And
I really like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
That's been my favorite one so far.
Yeah. So absolutely. Are you guys going to be watching more Marilyn movies on the box set?
There's a few more in there I think we'll watch. The River of No Return, actually. So have you heard of a guy... what was his name? Otto Preminger?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I keep hearing the name. This was the first movie of his I saw.
Oh, okay.
He was forced to direct this on contract. He didn't normally do West. It showed. I think that, like, the story was so awful.
Oh.
I cannot blame the actors.
Oh, and it's a Western.
Everything about it is just super cliche. Even for 1954, it felt super cliche and bad. Oh. And I totally blame the director on this one. Actually... Mitchum has done some good work, so
yeah.
Although there's a story on set about him drinking beer with the locals on the DVD extras, I think. And Marilyn Monroe actually, like, you could see her in one scene, she totally didn't know how to play guitar. And later on, she was actually doing chords. So, I mean, good on her for
learning,
getting into the role a bit. But
that's awesome.
Neither one of them apparently was really thrilled with the script.
Contractual obligation.
Yeah. Incredibles 2. Yay. Enjoyed it. It was
good.
It wasn't as good as the first, even though I really, really enjoyed it. I think because Brad Bird doesn't have a great sense of women's like issues. Like, you know how that humor with those, when it really hits, it's because they nail something so well. This really was Elastigirl's story. And it was fun, and the issues that they raised in there were like super fun. Emma Mode was great.
She's the best.
But in the end, it didn't quite hit super awesome, but still really, really good. So I enjoyed the hell out of that. And Terminal, have you, with Margot Robbie?
Yes, I've
Simon seen Pegg, yep. Mike Myers. Holy shit.
The movie's weird.
It should get a shout out just because it has such a unique kind of look and aesthetic.
It's like a it's very noir, but super neon, hyper colored neon, I think it might have. I may have talked about it on the last show, I don't remember. I thought it was okay.
The story in the end was just okay, but the whole thing together, because it was just something I hadn't seen.
It's very, very different.
In the end of it. And just Robbie is like such a chameleon.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
It's really tough to know how to recommend this, because for me, I liked it for just a bunch of personal reasons about it being different from a lot of the other stuff I'd seen. As a standalone movie on its own, it's probably just okay.
Yeah.
But it's still worth a watch, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I my favorite part actually is the relationship between the young and the old contract killers that are applying for the job.
Oh, man. Because
they're so good. They're so good.
Some of the dynamics in there are so wackadoodle.
Yeah.
Which is part of the fun.
Yeah, it's certainly fun.
And that's it for movies. So I got this new PS4... PlayStation 4 game, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
I have just kind of been holes sucked into playing that more than... So my lists are going to be a bit shorter than normal, especially my TV list.
I have no movies, so on to you, Marina.
I don't have a whole lot. I watched Steven Soderbergh's Unsane with the queen herself, Claire Foy. This is the one where she accidentally commits herself because she thinks she's being followed by somebody. It's really, really... I actually thought it was really intense and really kind of creepy. And I couldn't quite figure out whether she was actually crazy or not, which I think was the point. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. Even though at times Soderbergh's sort of kinetic, handheld, digital video looked really kind of grainy and gross. Like, some of it does not look good, but it's still a really good watch. Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. This is Angela Robinson's movie.
I wasn't sure whether I wanted to see that. So
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I thought it brought up some really interesting... themes about family, and the dynamics between the women was really interesting, and there was some interesting social commentary that I wasn't really expecting. I did read some stuff afterwards about the actual Professor Marston and the two women that he lived with, and it seems like they've taken quite a few liberties with the film, but I think they really work, and I really enjoyed it. The performances are excellent. Luke Evans is really, really good, and so are the women. It's solid. I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. It's quite good. It's a little bit long. Like, it loses a bit of steam sort of halfway through, but it's really interesting and really worth checking out. I really enjoyed it. Please Stand By, the Dakota Fanning movie where she plays the girl with autism who decides she's going to enter the Star Trek writing contest and needs to get the script there by a certain day, and stuff happens and she ends up having to hand deliver it. it's pretty interesting. Again, after the fact, they did read some stuff about the characterization and the fact of how they handled autism, which was a little bit questionable. But like when I was watching the movie, I thought it was quite good. Like I really enjoyed it. I thought the performances were solid. And Toni Collette's amazing. So there's that. Blame, which is a like teen drama, written, directing, and starring Quinn Shepherd, who I think is like 20. She's super young. And the fact that she's managed to make this movie on her own is like worth watching it just for that. And it's pretty interesting. It's the story of these two teenage girls and this strange relationship that they have with each other and with this substitute drama teacher. It's pretty interesting. It's you can tell it's like a first film, but it shows great promise. And the fact that she's making this independently is, I was super impressed. I thought it was really good. Midnight Sun, of course I had to watch a cheesy romance, guys. So this is the one where the girl is allergic to the sun, so she only does stuff right. at night.
Yeah.
It's super cheesy.
Did they pull it off? Okay.
Not really.
No.
It's very bland. Like it's not even as good as the one where the girl is like, there was another one earlier in the year, late last year, where there was a girl who was like allergic to everything. So she like lived in her house, which was always hermetically sealed.
Oh yeah.
Until
and
she went on
boy
one
across the street.
Yeah, and she went on one last adventure. At least that one had something, some like chemistry to it. This one, like everybody's just really cute, and you know they do the stuff, and it's Patrick Schwarzenegger trying to you know make a name for himself. So. Whatever. It was okay. I don't know. And then the highlight of the month, I saw Hereditary in the theater. This is the horror movie with Toni Collette where she's the artist that makes the miniatures. I'm sure you remember the trailer.
I'm struggling to actually.
It's
hitting your head against walls.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's fucking insane.
Excellent.
And it is tense as hell. And we saw it in a tiny, like, it's the smallest theater I've ever been in New West. I'm pretty sure it's probably the smallest. There were maybe, like, 50 people in there. And you could cut the tension with a knife. Like, and there's one scene which it just, you know, there's one scene where, you know, they're coming home from a party. Like, you've just had this, like, intense energy. And all of a sudden, something happens. And it's just, like, it goes to total silence. And the theater was so uncomfortable. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen a movie that, like, had the audience, like, so, like, twisted up. The girl next to us left about halfway through. She did not come back. I thought she was going for a popcorn refill. She just never came back. It's batshit insane and really, really good. And Alex Wolff is amazing in it. The kid is really good. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. And that's all. I did see Howard's End. I did rewatch it, but I rewatched it because of something else that I watched on the TV segment. So I'll talk about them together.
Okay. Yeah, I rewatched Dread.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Well, actually, on our trip, we did a day-long bus tour, and so there was times where they had put in these movies. So he showed RV, remember RV? With, what's his name?
Oh, shit.
Robin Williams.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah. It's really terrible. It was really terrible the first time I saw it, and it's still really terrible.
Trapped in a bus.
Yeah.
And then there was... The Goonies, which a bunch of kids on the bus had never seen. And that was actually really interesting because the kids were totally into it. And then there was like some stupid comedy thing that I don't even remember what it was. But I will say this, Air Canada Rouge had an amazing selection of Canadian films on their inboard entertainment. I was very impressed.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Good
I didn't
them.
Watch them, but I was
it's
very
nice
impressed.
To know they're there.
Yeah. I looked in the magazine and I'm like, this is a good selection here. This is good. I like it. So yeah, there's that. Okay. TV.
Is that TV Netflix or TV TV?
TV, whatever
that
you
counts.
Want.
All right. Then Netflix for me. No, it's Crave. I watched Game of Thrones, started watching it.
Wait, Have you never seen Game of Thrones?
I've watched one or two episodes, but someone's really sort of riding my butt about watching it kind of thing. Greatest show ever.
And I could have lent you.
It's on Crave. It's all mine.
You would like Arya.
Yeah, you know what? I'm far enough in that I can tell that she's going to be a little psycho.
in the best way possible.
You know what? The show is just so damn rapey.
And that does not change.
Yeah, I'm about done most of the first season, and I'm like going, good God.
Yeah, all that's I can my tell major is, complaint.
I like the one female that just will not take shit from anyone, Arya, and I like, well, of course, Peter Dinklage.
Of course, he's the best. Because
why wouldn't you? And yeah.
Oh, and Littlefinger, he is my favorite.
Littlefinger.
He's the...
Oh, is he the
manipulator?
Pimp?
Manipulator. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's the pimp.
All right.
Yeah, I guess Ygritte and...
That's it, just very rapey.
What's his name? Rob Stark got married.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't remember the actor's real name. Rose Leslie and... I can't remember
his name either. That's how memorable he is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know nothing, Rob. No.
John Snow.
Yeah, sorry.
The way she said that made me shiver, actually. That's a great line.
It is a pretty good line. You must have watched more than Game of Thrones.
Hmm?
You must have watched more than Game of Thrones.
That's about it.
But your list has more stuff.
Podcast stuff and book stuff.
Okay.
Sorry, and lots of doodles.
That's
because I doodle.
Dale, what you got?
So new shows, Reverie, sci-fi procedural, detective mashup, former hostage negotiator, played by Sarah Shahi, which I haven't seen since she was in Life, but she's done a lot of other stuff. I quite like her.
Oh, I like Life.
And she works for a company doing kind of a Total Recall kind of thing, and people get lost in their mind matrix, and she helps them come out. It's kind of mostly a procedural.
Okay.
It's kind of a little bit of hit and miss for me right now. Like, I found the concept interesting, but I'm not sure if they're going to keep it up. So we'll see how that goes. I'm really enjoying Cloak and Dagger, which is based on the comic strip. They're playing out, it's kind of in a mystery origin story right now. So once they do that and they shift into kind of full on story, we'll see how it goes. Cause I know that's what lost me with the Runaways.
Okay.
Kind of, it was really interesting until the story shifted. And there's a new one out and I don't know what to make of it. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I'm still kind of, like, wow, this is so different. It's called Dietland.
Oh, yeah.
Created by Marnie Noxon of Buffy and Unreal. And yeah. So the central character is a ghostwriter for a glamour magazine, and she's struggling with her weight, saving for a gastric bypass. But that's not the plot. That's just who she is.
Yeah.
There's a group, like, recruiting her for some mysterious, nefarious thing, and there's another group that's killing pieces of shit misogynistic guys, and you know that's related somehow, and we're waiting to see how. And the
are you enjoying it? Because I set the PVR and I haven't watched any of it.
I am finding it fascinating. I don't know if enjoys it. The thing is, like Joy Nash, who plays the main character, I find her really fun to watch. There's aspects of the story, like when they cut to some of the animated stuff, that isn't really working for me. And normally I love that kind of stuff. So right now I'm caught in kind of the mystery of it. So once some of the questions are answered, we'll see. But I like how they're tackling some of the issues. I find that refreshing. It's still too early for me to know if I'm going to stick with the show.
Okay.
Continuing to enjoy Elementary and The Good Witch. Bunch of shows have wrapped. The Good Fight's wrapped. It's renewed for season 3. Westworld was a great, huge kind of mind fuck, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Holy crap. Like, you really have to pay attention to that show. You can't half watch.
Which is why you can't watch it with Dan.
Wow. And what they did with the characters in the end. Like, I really love how they're playing with the storylines.
Who does Westworld? Is it HBO or?
Yeah, it's HBO. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it in like 7 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably.
Sounds good.
Supergirl wrapped.
Yeah.
They started, I don't know, the writing kind of lost that balance that I really liked.
Yeah, I was a little bummed by the end of the season. The second half of the season was really kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
And I thought when they brought back Monel and like things would kind of pick up and they didn't,
They got super preachy, which I was finding really annoying.
Yeah, which is really not typical of the show, which is strange.
It really felt like there was a shift in the writing, like whoever had been keeping them on track. It's like, no, we don't need to beat people up. It'll be clear in the storyline, you know, where we're coming from. And they lost that. So
agreed.
Season wrap up. I mean, I'm not sure if they've been renewed for a new season. I think I read that. Maybe that was a question, but
okay.
If they are renewed, I mean, I'll definitely start the next season.
Yeah, me too. It's one of these shows that I kind of watch while I do other stuff, but I generally enjoy it mostly because I really like the actors.
Yeah.
And I liked the story. I liked the stories they were telling leading up to like the second half of the season, which I thought was kind of weak, but
I really liked that it was a non-cynical, just character playing good, and it didn't get all saccharine.
Exactly. Agreed.
Yeah, and I found that part to be like unlike any of the other shows I was watching. So I enjoyed it for that. And The Expanse is wrapped up. I still haven't quite watched the last episode, but I'm really enjoying this season. The seasons have been so different from each other, but the couple of the new characters are a lot of fun, and the existing ones are definitely good. Best hard sci-fi show on television right now, and I was really happy that Amazon
picked it up.
So they'll have another season. And I have dropped Instinct. I don't know if you remember that one. It had Alan Cumming, which it never really, like, the writing on that, I mean, was just kind of bad. And so he's got this CIA kind of background. They did this really weird thing where he brought in one of his sidekicks. Not a sidekick, but an associate.
The guy who plays the Arab guy from Lost.
Name? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Well, first of all, it bugged me that every time he was stuck, he would go to his CIA guy. Like, it was just weak writing, right? Okay. It's just like, oh, we need to get this information to him real quick. He'll just ask a CIA guy and get it. And it's like, okay, first of all, that's a strike. It's like, if you can't write better than that, you shouldn't be writing for the first tier television stuff.
The only thing I really liked about that show was the fact that the one character was openly gay in a committed gay relationship. So the fact that he's working with a female, it was never going to end up being a Mulder and Scully situation, which I really enjoyed.
I'm totally with you on that. Yeah. I was looking forward to actually, oh good, a male-female team that won't get romantically involved.
Yeah.
Oh sure, they'll care for each other, but it's not the physical thing. Yeah.
And I mean, I've always liked Alan Cumming.
Yeah, which is sad that he is not in a better show.
So there was a particular plot thing where, like, this, he killed someone, but the CIA guy is going to take, or something like, I can't even remember anymore. Oh. But it was just like, oh, Jesus, like, this is so badly handled. I'm done. I just can't.
It's too bad.
Took me out of the show. Mm-hmm. And I am sad because, there was lots of really cool aspects to the show,
like,
that I was enjoying. And that's it for me for TV because of Horizon Zero Dawn.
And I've been trying to catch up on some of the backlog stuff that I have because I'm never going to catch up at this point. So I started by watching like the short season stuff that I had, like the miniseries, and I'm still not quite through the list, but I did watch, not in any particular order, I've been trying to catch up on Suits. I was a full 2 seasons behind. So I watched the rest of season 6. I think I still had like half of season 6 left. And I'm almost done with season 7. And it's more of the same. I kind of just like the show because I like the characters and I like the banter. The dynamic is weird now that some of the characters have dropped off and some of the other characters have like taken on different roles. And I'm still getting used to the whole thing. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm still watching. The Affair has returned. I love this show. I cannot recommend this show enough. Every season has been completely different. It starts as a show about these two people who are independently married to other people that have an affair, and then it goes from there. So season four has just started. I've only seen the first episode. So it looks like we've moved, the characters have like fully moved on, but they're still obviously connected because there's all this back drama with them. Cannot recommend it highly enough. Really like it. Super good. At Younger, season five. Also, it's just started. It's from the creators of Sex and the City. It is what it is. This is the one where the woman is a 40-some-year-old divorcee who basically ends up hiding her age to get a job in publishing. So she's pretending to be like in her 20s. And the last four seasons have all been kind of like, well, nobody really knows, and slowly people have been finding out, and her boss still doesn't know, or maybe now he does. So it's been kind of fun. Howard's End, the BBC miniseries. So this was a four-episode miniseries that BBC did last year with Matthew McFadden and Hayley Atwell. And after I watched it, and I really liked it. It's really well put together. The acting is great. I'd totally forgotten the story of Howard's End. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of went back and I went, okay, well, maybe I should watch the movie because it's been a long time since I saw it. And it's on Netflix, so that was easy to track down, even though I have a Criterion somewhere. But I really like the BBC adaptation. It's basically like 4 hours of, you know, period drama about these two families that end up having this, you know, intertwined life. It's very interesting. Really, really well done.
I think I watched the first half of the first episode. And yeah, it was not for me.
Oh, Atwell is so charming.
I mean, as soon as you said Atwell, it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The acting was good, but the social story, like, it just was not dealing with stuff I was interested in at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of my period fodder, right? The thing that I, that kind of struck me rewatching the movie was how bad of an actress Helena Bonham Carter was when she was young. She is very kind of like, I'm not quite sure when she got better, but like
she got better.
Yeah, because I think that must have been one of her early roles, and she is very like raw. It was really awkward to watch because you have all of these amazing actors like Emma Thompson, Melissa Redgrave, and then you have, you know, Helena Bonham Carter, who's super cute, but she's just kind of like, every time she opens her mouth, you're like, nah. It was really weird. Claus is back.
I was going to say one line. I miss Merchant Ivory.
Oh, me too. Oh, those are my favorite. I love them. I love them. Which is why I really liked the movie that he wrote last year, the name of which has escaped me now.
Was that Merchant or Ivory? I should probably know.
Merchant? I think. Because he was the one that always did the writing. And okay. I think Ivory did all the directing. But yeah, Claus is back for season two. I don't know if you remember, this was the TNT show with Niecy Nash as like, she owns a nail salon where, and she is like wrapped up with like the hick mafia, and they're basically selling drugs to people through like a medical center. The whole thing is just kind of ridiculous. So for season two, they've introduced like a Russian mafia aspect, which has turned everything upside down, and it's fucking hilarious. And Dean Norris is so different in it. It's really over the top and really fun. I really like it. We finally caught up on the second half of, well, the first half of Fear of the Walking Dead season four, because they've wrapped for the mid-season. It's turning a little bit into The Walking Dead, which I'm really not digging, but I'm going to give them the rest of the season to see if they manage to pull it out of the bag. But at the rate that they're going, I'm not going to be watching a whole lot of season five. That show has gone from the one I really like to watch to kind of more of the same. And that's it.
So did you see Glow is out now?
I did see Glow is out now.
Luke Cage is back.
I have not watched any Luke Cage because I haven't even seen season one of Luke Cage.
Glow.
Yeah, season two.
Season two's out?
Yeah, it dropped yesterday.
Just dropped yesterday.
Sorry, I have to write this down.
Yeah, Dan actually just asked me last week when Glow was coming. I'm like, guess what? Glow dropped yesterday.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Something else for me to be behind.
That was the surprise of last year. Like, it,
that
holy
show was
cow.
So good.
That really was a surprise. I read the concept for that, and I'm like, oh, this will be. And then because you recommended it, I watched it. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, no, Dan was definitely going to be watching that.
Nice.
Books?
Well, surprise, surprise, I have two. And surprise, surprise, they're both Preston Child books. In my deep dive of Preston Child, Axel Pendergrass, I don't know. I've read two books. One is called Fever Dream, which involves him investigating his wife's death from like 10 years previously, how she got basically eaten by a lion while on safari with him. I'm telling you, these stories get so weird.
But then it gets weirder than that.
Oh, right? Oh, yeah. And that book goes deep dive into like the Audubon, sort of the guy who painted all those birds, the Audubon collection.
Nice.
And into some sort of virus that makes you like super creative, but at the same time, it like drives you insane because you can't turn off your brain and. It gets really weird. So it was, just, again, just exactly the kind of book I like. This is so weird. And then the next one is called White Fire, which is, it focuses more on a student that basically is, Axel Pendergrass is given basically money for her education. And she was like a punk that now... super into researching sort of like medicine and things like that. And so she's in a fancy hoity-toity resort because they've dug up an old graveyard, of course. And there was a half a dozen bodies that had been mauled by a killer grizzly bear back in the 1870s. And somehow there's a link to Oscar Wilde and Arthur Conan Doyle a missing Sherlock Holmes... story, which is inside this book. Like, you read the entire new Sherlock Holmes story inside the book. Yeah, it's just, again, batshit crazy, and people are stalking each other. There might be cannibalism involved. It's
glorious.
Yeah, it's glorious. So, I recommend Preston and Child books if you want really messed up stories about FBI agents.
Dale, do you got any books?
No books.
I got a couple. Kevin Kwan's Crazy Rich Asians, which I think I mentioned in passing because I just started reading it when we recorded last month. It ended disappointingly because I did not get a full ending. They left it on a cliffhanger, which means now I have to read book 2 and 3, which is totally fine because they're just very... light. I think I may have called it like a modern retelling of Jane Austen because it's kind of all about social status and who's connected to who and how and about how much money you have and the things that you do with that money. Has a couple of Vancouver connections, which is really interesting. I read an interview with Kevin Kwan the other day leading up to the release of the movie that they made, and he was talking a little bit about his experience, and he actually comes from sort of that circle, which is how he has so much insider information. So it's kind of, it's fun. It's very light reading, but it's really, really fun. I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is completely different. This is Michelle McNamara's nonfiction account of her obsessive, and I mean obsessive, search to try to discover the Golden Gate Killer. Now, McNamara was married to Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
And she passed away like 2 or 3 years ago before she actually finished the book.
Yeah.
So there are portions of the book that have been pieced together from some of her notes and from other articles that she had written over the years. She ran a blog all about like unsolved mysteries and true crime. And she was basically like an amateur sleuth, and she worked with other people to try to solve crimes, but she totally became obsessed by the Golden Gate Killer. The thing that really impressed me about the book, because I'm not a huge true crime fan, it's a little bit too grisly for me. I don't really feel like reading about that. I found that she writes It reads like fiction. Like, just the amount of detail and characterization she adds to the stories and the people that she's talking to and talking about is fascinating. So it's a really interesting kind of account and about, like, the search for a killer, but also, like, it's a really amazing read. Like, it just reads really, really well. And then the last one was A Measure of Light from Beth Pounding. It's a Canadian novel. About the early Quakers in the new colonies. And it's particularly the story of Mary Dyer, who was one of the very first Quakers. And it's very, she's taken apparently quite a few liberties with the biography part of the novel. But what I found really interesting was actually the way she characterizes this woman's obsession. Oh, apparently I'm obsessed with people and their obsessions. Like, just the what she, the sacrifices that she made for basically religion. Like, she basically abandoned her family for years at a time to preach. Like, it just seems like the whole thing seems kind of weird, but it brought up some interesting ideas about, you know, if it'd been a man doing the same thing, would I have had the same, like, feelings? Because, you know, she really did leave her family. Basically, her kids didn't know who she was. She was never comfortable having children. Like, she felt like she kind of did it because she needed to. Like, it just, there was a lot of interesting ideas in the novel. And I was super, like, taken by it. It was really, really good. So I highly recommend it. And the writing was good. It looks like somebody's home.
I'd like to go back to books for a second. I just realized Fever Dreams was from the last Lilith Hobo Media Spew. There's been another Preston and Chow book in there called Wheel of Darkness, where Preston and his ward go to Nepal or something like that to basically study with the Buddha, Buddhists or whatever kind of thing, some monks. And then someone steals some sort of world-changing artifact that has been stored there and protected there for 1,000 years. So he ends up getting onto a cruise ship kind of thing, where a rich guy who's bought it is now going across, and shenanigans ensue on the cruise ship. And there's like a fog monster, and there's all sorts of other...
fog monster.
I'm telling you, man. It's like Shibumi light with an FBI agent. Like, these books are just so weird.
They sound so insane. I don't know if I could read that.
They are kind of insane, but they're done very well.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. So, it's actually Wheel of Darkness, not Fever Dream.
Dale, I'm done. Dale looks like we beat him up, doesn't he?
It's like an author picked out my brain, and it's like, what kind of story would entertain this person?
Anything else? Do you guys have anything else? I don't have any any new podcasts.
I have podcasts. You have a podcast?
I have one podcast. Go for it.
Okay. I've started listening to Uncle Birdie's Botanarium.
Of course you have.
Half of the Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
Guys has a podcast, and it's a fictional one, and it's sort of like weird Victorian, and it all focuses on, like, botanists and things like that. And the botanists have their own clubs, and it's really freaking weird. I love it. And the other one is the Beef and Dairy podcast, the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, where they basically deep dive into pressing issues of the beef and dairy industry.
Is this a joke?
Nonfiction.
It is fiction, but they play it deadly serious, and because they do it, it's hilarious.
Okay.
At one time, they had an interview with someone who's investigating microbial life on Mars, and he starts asking questions like, how would a lack of gravity affect cattle? and like the NASA scientist going, what are you talking about? It's like, now, if you see hoof prints on, it's like, well, there wouldn't be hoof prints. It's like, it sounds like you're not looking.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's I like the Beef and Dairy podcast. It's very dry. It's very BBC. It sounds very much like a BBC podcast, because I think it is.
Okay. Only Colleen.
Yeah.
This, well, my podcast actually, I think, is more of a Colleen podcast, but it's called The Drabblecast. It's coming back from Podfade. It was one of my favorites, but the guy doing it, life got in the way, and he just kind of stopped doing stuff. It made me sad. So it makes me happy that he's trying to make a comeback.
Nice.
The tagline is, The Drabblecast is a weekly audio fiction magazine that brings strange stories by strange authors to strange listeners, such as yourself. And they really are, like, it's horror to sci-fi to just stuff, and it always has a strange twist in it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I'm glad it's back. And he actually produces stuff, so it usually has a music bed, and it has some sound effects, and I can understand the amount of energy that went into it. So I'm hoping good things for him. And if you do enjoy dark stuff, this is where you go.
I hate when podcasts I love just never come back, and there's never, it's like, look, like, do an update, say we're ending this, I have other things to do, and I'm like, okay, I can move on with life.
Like the mystery, like on the brink,
the mystery show, like what happened with that? I haven't heard the mystery show forever. Steve the Plumber podcast, it's just no longer there. Limetown was supposed to come back. I've heard nothing. Makes me sad.
It does.
That's everything I have.
Me
too. That's me.
All right.
Yeah, that was a good show, guys. I will try to have more movies next time, I swear.
I'll try to have more Preston and Child updates for next time.
I will try to have watched Ant-Man by the time we return.
Oh, I hope. I have such a bad track. I still have not seen Deadpool, actually. I'm become a really lazy bum when I get home. So like, I get home and it's like, I'm going to go see... no, I'm not.
Yeah. Just going
to
watch
whatever's on the TV. Unless I actually book an appointment with someone to go see something.
After a shift of construction? Yeah, I just take a shower, I eat some food, and then I go into a coma or possibly read a Pendergast novel.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. So come on by atcpod.ca for links to all the lovely things we've talked about today. We will be back in a couple of weeks with the August preview.
August.
How's it already August?
It's almost time for school. Year 3.
And until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.
I was screaming into the canyon at the moment of my death. The echo I created, I lasted my last breath. My voice, it made an avalanche and buried a man I never knew. And when he died, his widow bride met your daddy and they made you. I have only one thing to do, and that's be the way that I am and then sink back into the ocean. I have only one thing to do, and that's be the wave that I am and then sink back into the ocean. I have only one thing to do, and that's be the way that I am and then sink back into the ocean. 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 Sink back into the ocean.